despite the long history of cinema and the many movies we have access to these days, it can still be difficult to pick out a good one, or a great one for that matter, if the pressure's on. But there are some reliable favorites, classics that have been tested by time and countless viewers. Jocelyn Sepeniak-Galise is Associate Professor of English and Film Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She wrote the book, The Optical Vacuum, Spectatorship and Modernized American Theater Architecture. She spoke to Rob Ferret about classic movies last year, and here's their conversation.
Now, Jocelyn, what does a classic mean to you? And maybe you have a personal answer and a film professor answer. I don't know.
I always have both film studies professor answers and personal answers, Rob. I think we can think about classics in a couple ways. The standard way of thinking about it would be to say, well, a film that's a classic is kind of like a pinnacle of the form, right? It embodies everything that had kind of led up until that moment, and it represents a kind of culmination. So we might think of a lot of classic American films as from the era of classical Hollywood cinema, from, you know, about the time that sound enters the picture, as it were, at the end of the 1920s, beginning of the 30s, till around the end of the Paramount decrees and when the studios break up, which kind of goes on until the end of the 1950s. So I think about classical films, but then also classics, right? Classics might not only be those that represent some kind of urtext of the form. They might also be films that have just sort of withstood the test of time and that we still really, really love.
Sometimes you see the blurb on the new movie, instant classic. Is there such a thing, or does some time have to pass before a movie can become a classic?
I think some time has to pass. I mean, that's kind of like saying, you know, this new film is a cult classic. I don't think the distributor gets to decide what's a cult movie.
Well, we've got one clip of one that you've actually talked to us before, I believe, one of your classic favorites. Let's start with this one, Singin' in the Rain, 1952 musical. Let's take a little listen.
Come on now, snap out of it. You can't let a little thing like this get you down. Why, you're Donald Lockwood, aren't you? And Donald Lockwood's an actor, isn't he? Well, what's the first thing an actor learns? The show must go on. Come rain, come shine, come snow, come sleet, the show must go on. So really, Pagliacci, really.
Really, huh?
Yeah. Don, the world is so full of a number of things. I'm sure we should all be as happy as. But are we? No. Definitely no. Positively no. Decidedly no.
Why does that one stand out as a classic for you?
Oh, wow. This is probably the movie that I have watched the most number of times of any movie that I've ever seen. And right there, we heard Donald O'Connor as Cosmo and Gene Kelly as Don Lockwood. And I think Singin' in the Rain is just such an absolute classic movie for several reasons. First of all, it is a movie that comes out toward the end of the classical Hollywood era. So it really represents just the perfection, like the absolute craftsmanship that Hollywood was really capable of achieving at that moment in time. It is a Technicolor extravaganza. It's an MGM musical. It is lavish. It has stars we love, like Gene Kelly, but also Debbie Reynolds and Gene Hagen and Sid Charisse. But the other thing to me that makes it such a classic is that it doesn't just deal in what might be happening in 1952. It's actually a movie that's about Hollywood's transition to sound. It all takes place at the end of the 1920s. So we have this wonderful nostalgic description, this nostalgic visual and oral description of what Hollywood was like in the late 1920s. So it's kind of Hollywood playing itself. And that makes it both outrageously fun and something that encourages us to think about how film changes over time. Plus, who doesn't love Gene Kelly's dancing? It's just a thing of beauty.
We're talking about classic movies with Jocelyn Sepeniak-Galise from UW-Milwaukee. Lots of callers waiting, Jocelyn. I want to check out another one that I didn't know about, a Czechoslovakian film, Markéta Lazarová, made in 1967. What is that about? Why is it a classic?
Well, we can't just think that only American movies are classics, right? And this is another one of my very favorite films. This is, as you noted, a 1967 film from the former Czechoslovakia. And it's made in the kind of high moment of the Czech New Wave, which is when all of these kinds of new possibilities were opening up for Czech artists. It's partially because there's this moment, you know, of the Prague Spring in the end of the 1960s, when Soviet forces draw back a bit and there's less censorship in former Czechoslovakia. And this film is just a wonderful example of all of the cinematic possibilities that were just kind of blossoming in that moment. It is a beautiful film that takes place in the Middle Ages, but it's about the clash between the pagan and the Christian. But it's not done in your normal kind of like historical drama mode. Instead, it's all about trying to depict what the experience of living in that moment in time might have been like. So it works on so many different levels. It is an awesome action movie. It is filled with action. It's so exciting, but it's also really indicative of what kinds of forms of cinema were really possible at this moment in the 1960s. And it's also about the long history of the Czech people. It is just an absolutely spectacular film. And I wanted to bring that up because I was hoping a lot of listeners might get interested in it and watch it.
That's Markéta Lazarová from 1967, a Czech film. Let's go to your calls now. Kay starts us off in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi. I seldom buy a movie, but I love Casablanca.
What is it that makes Casablanca a classic to you, Kay?
Well, it's a beautiful love story, but I love the black and white photography.
All right, Kay. I think a lot of people would say Casablanca. I'm more a Maltese Falcon kind of guy. Jocelyn, what do you think?
I mean, I do love Bogey, but my favorite is In a Lonely Place of his films. But got to go with Casablanca all the time, too.
Thanks a lot for that call, Kay. And are there movies like that, Casablanca, that you think a lot of people are just going to have on their classic list, Jocelyn?
Sure. I think Citizen Kane is one that many, many folks will turn to. And I think that's a good example of how the notion of a classic changes over time, because Citizen Kane wasn't necessarily celebrated when it came out. It was kind of weird. It was sort of out there. And it's only as time has gone on that that has become a real classic film.
As time goes by. Got it. Dennis joins us next in Racine. Dennis, hi.
Yes, I recommend absolutely seeing Gone with the Wind. That's a classic of that era. That's an absolute classic with Gable at his absolute best.
Dennis, thanks a lot for the call. And I think adjusted for inflation, anyway, one of the top grossing movies of all time. Some views have changed on that movie in hindsight, though. Jocelyn, can you talk about Gone with the Wind as a classic?
Sure. Yeah, that's also a really interesting film that I saw that with my grandma in the theater, actually, in not when it first came out, not in 1939. I just want to clarify that. In a repertory theater in the 1990s, and it was still really epic and sweeping. It's interesting for so many reasons, but one of the things that we think about right now is certainly its depiction of the antebellum South. And I want to recommend the work of Jacqueline Stewart, who's introducing that film for HBO now. She's done a lot of work with TCM as well. And she's a really incredible historian who talks about how our understanding of that film has really changed over time.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Daniel next in Plover. Daniel, hi.
Hi, thanks very much for taking my call. I would say To Have and Have Not is my favorite film. It's the same story as Casablanca, just told in the Caribbean instead of North Africa. And it's just full of so many good lines. And the chemistry between Bogey and Bacall is really remarkable. And it's just a fun movie.
To Have and Have Not, and I'll say I have not seen that one, Jocelyn.
You're missing out. A classic Howard Hawks film, and also from the moment of classical Hollywood cinema. Bacall. Love Bacall.
Daniel, thanks for the call. That reminds me, Jocelyn, I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about all the movies I should have seen that I haven't seen. What are your thoughts on movie missing out shame?
Oh, yeah, we should have an acronym for that, but I'm not going to come up with it right now. I think a lot of us experience that. And when I was in graduate school doing my PhD in film and media studies, a lot of fellow graduate students would sit around together and talk about the most shameful films we were missing from our spectatorial experience. So I think everybody has that kind of a feeling.
Ah, yes, movie Missing Out, shame. We're listening back to a conversation with Jocelyn Sepetiak-Galise, Associate Professor of English and Film Studies at UW-Milwaukee. She joined us to talk about classic movies, what makes them classic, and which ones you should add to your list. Coming up, we'll get more recommendations, and we'll pick up the conversation next on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and right now we're picking up the conversation about great film classics. And our guest is Jocelyn Sepetiak-Galise, Associate Professor of English and Film Studies at UW-Milwaukee. She wrote the book, The Optical Vacuum, Spectatorship and Modernized American Theater Architecture. Here's the rest of her talk with Rob Ferret from last year. Central Time listener George in Delavan kicks off this conversation.
Yeah, I'm coming from the standpoint of with kids and grandkids. So Matilda, to watch with the grandkids, and we always watch Princess Bride with my own children.
George, thanks a lot for that call. And that's another take on a classic movie, Jocelyn. Maybe that movie you're looking forward to sharing with another generation.
Yeah, I think that's such a good way to think about it, most definitely. And The Princess Bride is a great one to share with all sorts of family members. I think that's one that a lot of people like to show to the newer generations.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Rob with us in Green Bay. Rob, hi.
Hi. Going back to a little bit older version, I put my vote in for Alfred Hitchcock's North by Northwest.
Oh, and I bet, Rob, are there other Hitchcock movies that you would put on your list, or is that the standout one for you?
Well, definitely Rear Window and others are great, Psycho, obviously. But I really like North by Northwest as kind of the precursor to the action-adventure suspense film where they start, it's a mistaken identity situation, and they start in New York, and they end up going cross-country through Chicago and all the way out to Mount Rushmore and just really some neat technical shooting by Hitchcock in that movie. And the suspense thriller, that the dialogue, especially between Cary Grant and Marie Saint on the train, is so snappy and before its time. There's just a lot of great aspects to it.
Fantastic, Rob. Thanks for that. Jostle a little Hitchcock there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think really on the nose in terms of the technical mastery of that film, too, especially that very famous crop duster sequence where Cary Grant gets chased by the crop duster airplane in the fields. But of course, he and the crop duster, they were never actually in the same shot together. It's just the magic of special effects and rear projection. It's absolutely masterful.
Thanks for the call. Ted joins us now in Lone Rock. Ted, hi.
Hi. I wanted to contribute two titles to your discussion. One is Failsafe by Sidney Lumet. It's got a whole host of wonderful actors in it. Henry Fonda, Walter Matthau, Larry Hagman, and an incredible performance, dramatic performance, small featured role by Dom DeLuise, a great comedian. This is a serious role for him. But I remember seeing it. I'm close to 70 years old right now, and I remember seeing it when it came out, probably in the 60s, I'm guessing. And it deals with the arms race, the Cold War. And it is the be-all and end-all of nuclear proliferation and how dangerous it is. And the other film that I was a kid seeing was called Shoes of the Fisherman, and that stars Anthony Quinn. And it is this incredible story about a man. This was before we had our first non-Italian pope. Anthony Quinn becomes pope, but it's got a fairy tale ending. The world is in chaos. World War III is about to happen. And the Catholic Church, through Anthony Quinn's portrayal of the pope, solves it by saying he will give up all the riches of the church to feed the hungry. So there won't be a World War III.
Ted, thanks a lot for the call. Well, there's ones that stood the test of time for Ted. He's remembering seeing these as a youth in the 60s, and they are still front of mind for him, clearly, Jocelyn.
Yeah, I mean, that really hits me on a personal level because Failsafe was one of my dad's favorite films. Oh. And so I watched that with my dad when I was a kid. He was a big peace activist in the 60s. So that one holds some particular resonance for me that I don't think I can even have real critical thinking about that one because I associate it so deeply with my father.
Thank you so much for sharing those with us, Ted. Cheryl is with us now in Eau Claire. Cheryl, hi.
Hi there. It wouldn't be Christmas without White Christmas, first part of the season. I like that.
Every year for you, Cheryl?
Yep. Starts the Christmas off.
All right. Cheryl, thanks a lot for the call. White Christmas, Jocelyn.
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about that movie the last time I was on.
We did indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. Great example of using the magic of color film.
Thanks for that call. We are talking about classic movies. Jocelyn Sapaniak-Gillies is with us from UW-Milwaukee. Jocelyn, before we get back to our callers, one more film you wanted to share with us, a little more recent, 1989, My 20th Century, a Hungarian movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have to be true to myself, which is bringing up the esoterica as much as possible. this is a film I absolutely adore. It's by this filmmaker, Ildikó Anyeti. I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I'm not Hungarian, so forgive me. And it's a really fine film that takes on these two twin sisters who are separated, and then they have these two different life experiences. But they're coming of age at the turn of the 20th century. And it's really a film that's about a love letter to cinema. It's about how cinema has ended up inflecting all of our experiences in the 20th century. Of course, this is made toward the end of the 20th century. It's really looking back at almost 100 years of film production and thinking about what that's meant for culture and what that's meant for our shared dreams and our shared imagination. It is an absolutely beautiful, magical film. And I really wanted to bring that one up because it never was available in the United States. You had to go through a lot of different channels to try to see it for a long time. But just recently, Kino Lorber has restored it. And as of about a month ago, you can see it on just about any streaming platform. So I think that's a really great example of an older film that is having new life. And I just really want everybody to enjoy it as much as I do.
That's My 20th Century from Hungary. Let's go back to your calls now. Brian is with us in Benton. Brian, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you got for us, Brian?
It's called Captain Fantastic. Viggo Mortensen starred in it. It's a great movie about the bonds of family and the loss of a loved one due to mental illness.
Interesting. And that's a more recent one, I think. I'm looking it up, 2016. So a recent Captain Fantastic, Jocelyn, I have not seen that. Have you seen that? Or are there any more recent ones that leapt to classic status for you in that way?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen that one either, but I do want to bring up Viggo Mortensen because I think that he's the reason maybe, I'll speculate given that I haven't seen the film. I think he might be the reason in large part that maybe somebody might think about this one as a classic because he has that real gravitas that older film stars really did, right? He's really somebody that we might place in an older film. So I think depending on who the actor is, that also might lend classic status to a film.
Thanks for that call. Time for at least one more call, or maybe two. Andy is on the line in Milwaukee. Andy, hi.
Hello. I've got about 100 movies that I could name, but the one that I never miss is the Preston Sturges classic, Sullivan's Travels. I think it was 1940. Really a movie. It's got comedy. It's got all the seriousness you could want, and it's just a great movie.
Sullivan's Travels. Travels, yes. I just looked it up. 1941, it looks like, Jocelyn.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, anything Preston Sturges, just an absolutely brilliant writer and director. Even when he wasn't directing really fine films like Sullivan's Travels, which is just, it's just sparkling. It is delightful. But he also wrote a lot of screenplays before turning to directing as well. And if you think you don't like older comedies, then I think watch some Preston Sturges. He is just, he's so funny.
We've gotten so many emails. We'll get to them all. Pete in Reedsburg says, it's all about Eve. A young person's cultural education wouldn't be complete until they've seen a certain Betty Davis movie. All about Eve, Jocelyn.
I just totally agree. I love All About Eve so much. I made my students watch it in my Classical Hollywood class just a couple of years ago. For me, it's Betty Davis all the way. I mean, I just love her so much. And It is kind of a classic story of competition. It's catty, it's campy, it's backstabbing, it's got everything. It's wonderful.
And Jocelyn, in our last half a minute or so, one thing that's hard to do these days is see a movie in a theater, much less classic movies in theaters. Do they still, a lot of them, hold up as well on the home screen?
You know, some of them do. I think it's always the best to see a film where it was meant to be shown, which is usually the big screen. But maybe you're like me, and during this pandemic, you took the opportunity to get a giant television. That could help a little bit with your spectatorial experience. I think a really good film, a really classic film, is still going to be a thrilling and fulfilling experience no matter where you watch it.
Jocelyn, it's been a lot of fun and it flew by. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
It did. Thanks so much for having me on.
That was Jocelyn Sapaniak-Galise, Associate Professor of English and Film Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, also author of the book, The Optical Vacuum, Spectatorship in Modernized American Theater Architecture. She talked to Rob Ferret about classic movies last year. And you can keep the conversation going with a movie or movies you think everyone needs to see at least once in their life. So what's your pick? And what did that movie mean to you? Did it teach you anything? Tell us what you loved about it by emailing us, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org, and we may share it on the air. So you tell us what movies we should be seeing.